Alrighty, on this episode of Bouts, Tug, and Bouts, happy to be speaking with an individual who had quite the impressive performance that went down at BKFC Fight Night Wichita. The victory over Jay Jackson via majority decision going down at the end of October there in the evening's co-feature. And very excited to be getting some insights from the man that got the victory over Jay Jackson, Isaac Doolittle. How's the day going so far there, man?
I can't complain. I mostly got the day off, so I'm just kind of relaxing.
No, that's pretty all right, man. And I'm kind of wondering what a day off looks like for you, because it seems like you're always getting your hand into something, whether it's like school or, you know, different jobs you have and stuff like that. Obviously, the combat sports career. Like, what does downtime look like for you?
Well, speaking of the school, it actually took them 2 years. I finally got my diploma like a week before the fight. It's been 2 years since I graduated, so that was kind of comical. But no, it's just I run a soap company and a beard care business. So it's just basically going to a coffee shop, sitting down, doing all the analytics and all the inventory and everything that we need to keep rolling stuff out, and then just going on a walk here. We've got a Kansa Prairie out here that I go on a walk every once in a while. So nothing too hectic, just taking care of stuff that needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, that sounds relaxing, though. That's cool to hear about the schooling, because last time we were talking, you said you had your BSN in biochemistry, and we're looking to set aside a bit of money to get the master's and everything like that. So good to hear you're, you know, steadily putting in that work and everything like that. Yeah, that must have been a big moment for sure. But yeah, in talking about the big moment in the last one there, I'm curious, because I was, you know, telling some people about this interview, like Eric Kowal, for instance, from My MMA News and everything like that. And something, you know, he was actually wondering, he was curious how your knee had felt in there. Like, you were wearing a brace, and apparently when you'd spoken to him, it was relayed to you by a doctor that there was some level of an ACL and MCL tear, but not maybe to the point of requiring surgery. So to that point, how did the knee feel when you were out there throughout the last BKFC performance there?
Oh no, it's a full ACL tear. I don't have currently have an ACL or a lateral meniscus that was torn in my last fight, but apparently the musculature on my quad is, and the limb length that I have is so short and so dense that it compensates pretty well, and I don't need surgery unless I go back to MMA and it's going to get attacked. But as for how it felt in the ring, it was a little stiff here and there. It was a little bit tired, but nothing that wasn't unmanageable. There were a few angles that I had difficulty cutting, a couple times that movements would have put me off balance, but we put in probably 3 weeks of hard footwork just to try and compensate. Most of our fight camp was actually testing to see if that knee was actually going to hold, and so I'm glad it did. That's part of the reason why I'm waiting until next year to fight, is because we were in fight camp for almost this whole year, except for the 1 month between my last fight. We let the knee heal a little bit, so I didn't really do anything for about a month, but then we were right back into fight camp. So we've had something like six or seven or eight back outs this year, so I've literally been in fight camp since January.
Yeah, that's a wild set of circumstances. Unfortunate for sure there, and that seems to extend to a few different combat disciplines from what I was seeing there, as far as the, you know, cancellations you were talking about there. Like, it seemed like you were trying to endeavor to get that professional boxing debut going on and just different things like that, and maybe not necessarily panning out. Was there ever like a level of frustration setting in amid these cancellations, or just kind of trusting the process, you know, get out there eventually and things will sort themselves out kind of thing?
There is always a level of frustration. We were trying to actually get an additional bare knuckle bout so that my record would be a little bit higher, have a little more experience before we appeared back on BKFC, because they weren't wanting to give me a call. But so we were kind of hoping to get an additional bare knuckle bout. The debut boxing was literally just somebody that we were going to take, but then they looked up my bare knuckle record and they backed out. We eventually took a Muay Thai bout, and I have no business doing Muay Thai because that I don't really train kicks. I don't really train the defenses. I'm an MMA guy, so it kind of translates over, but it was like I think we took it on a week notice. We had 37 something, like 30 or 37 people basically decline the fight. And then we found a guy last minute for Muay Thai, and why not?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point about the Muay Thai, though, just per our previous conversation where you were saying that a lot of the combat sports experiences, like, you know, with the hands and with grappling and stuff like that, which would make BKFC, you know, stylistically the perfect fit because of the clinch positions. But is there a level of utility you get out of an experience like that just through the lens of it not being the immediate thing you train, but getting out there to compete? Like, does it galvanize the, I guess, confidence at all, or any utility in that sort of sense?
Well, that fight didn't really galvanize any confidence because 20 seconds in, he kicked me. I kind of lazy man blocked it, and then I kicked him. And I hyperextended when I kicked him, and that tore, because of the overtraining that we had, that tore my ACL. So it was three rounds of me trying to chase down a 6'5" guy on one leg, and that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, fair. No, I imagine that would be fairly difficult, to say the very least, but is there, you know, part of the rehab that you're going to be getting into going forward, like, is that going to be the main focus? Because I mean, you can see the division play out a little bit. I mean, it seems like you're getting ready to, you know, get back in there at some point in 2022. So is the plan going forward to steadily rehab that leg and then see how the division plays out early 2022?
Oh yeah, I'm especially curious because from what I've been told, Hector Lombard and Lorenzo Hunt are going to be fighting this next November for the 85-pound title, was what I was told. That's a little confusing since I thought they were both 205ers, but we'll see how that plays out. And then, yeah, while I'm rehabbing, I'll just be watching the division to see who I'm going up against. I'm really, really curious to see.
Yeah, that's curious that it would be positioned like that because, I mean, all the lead and material to that Lombard-Riggs fight was saying that it would be more of like a cruiserweight title fight. So it's kind of weird to, like, yeah, position it as like a 185 kind of thing thereafter.
Yeah, I thought it was a title defense, but I've heard rumors to the otherwise, so I'm kind of fuzzy on what weight it's going to be at.
Yeah, that's curious. I mean, a lot of intriguing fights in a lot of different divisions there. So would 185 be what you're looking at there? I mean, I know Thiago Alves is in kind of close proximity weight-wise, and he has a title. Is that a fight that would hold interest, or maybe more so that 185, maybe even closer to cruiserweight kind of level?
Well, I've always competed at 185. It's a lot easier cut, and 170 generally just leaves me drained. It's a doable cut from an outside perspective, but it always leaves me tired in the later rounds. I'm dense, so it's a lot harder for me to shed that extra weight. 85 is more comfortable. I compete a lot better. The guys are generally longer, a lot longer, but I'd have to go down to almost 145, 155 to reach guys that are my height and my limb length, so that's never going to happen.
But it seems like you're looking at the winner of that Lombard versus Hunt fight as a potential next opponent, and just the momentum you have, it would make a level of sense to, you know, get that kind of a crack there. So is that kind of what you're looking at there, just seeing how that plays out there? And I guess as an extension of that, who do you see the individual, you know, emerging victorious from that Lombard versus Hunt fight?
Well, it's literally whoever they throw at me. If it's Lombard or Hunt, I'm fine with it. I'm personally rooting for Lombard only because I have been a little fan. He's one of the only fighters that I actually paid attention to because he was my height, kind of my build when I was an amateur. And so I used to love watching him tee off on people. So I was like a little fanboy when I saw him in BKFC. So I'm rooting for him because it would be, if I got to go up against Hector Lombard, that'd be just, it's kind of a, you meet your own legend.
Yeah, those seem to be like the fights that motivate you in a lot of regards. Like that last fight with Jackson, you seem to be very immersed in that fight from like a competitive kind of standpoint. Like, oh, he's an action reel, highlight type of guy, a real hard hitter. Are those the kind of fights that really motivate you just through the lens of, I guess, that competitive curiosity? Like, oh yeah, I got to get out there and, you know, see what it's like fighting a guy that's, you know, tough as nails, as it were.
Oh yeah, I like being the underdog because it takes the pressure off. You aren't supposed to win. You shouldn't win. So go have fun. I've had fights. I've only had like one or two fights where I was supposed to win, and I was just so nervous that I had to come out the victor. I much prefer to be the underdog. There's no chance of me for winning, so we're going to go out and we're going to have fun.
It's funny you phrase it in those particular terms there, because, you know, I generally write betting related articles on BKFC for a site called Sports Betting Dime, and just checking out some of the lines for the fights, I was admittedly pretty surprised seeing that you were the underdog for that one, and I thought there was some value in going with you as the pick for that one. I mean, no disrespect to your opponent, obviously, but I kind of got to go with one person in that binary sort of thing there. So yeah, that's kind of curious that that's like a career kind of thread, like people always seeing you as the underdog, because I definitely thought there was value in you getting the nod there.
My entire amateur career and the first part of my pro career, heck, my whole pro career, I was always a last-minute fill-in against the hometown hero. So I was always the guy who was supposed to, I was the meat for the fodder. And we had a couple promotions that stopped using me because I was giving their undefeated guys their first pro or their first loss. I don't think I've ever fought a guy with a perfect record that I haven't beaten.
I would imagine that does a lot to bolster the confidence, just continually playing spoiler and people maybe not necessarily seeing you as being the guy that's going to get that nod there. Is that a fair characterization, or is it kind of just like, ah, whatever, I'm just doing my thing and competing?
I do my thing, but I compete a lot better when I think I'm going to lose, for the simple fact that all expectations off of you. If you lose, you were supposed to lose. If you win, you won. You weren't supposed to win. There's no stress. You can just go out there and do what you need to do.
Yeah, I can understand the logic in that certain sense for sure. But another facet of just the event overall that I'd be curious to get insights on, because your girlfriend Jessica Link was competing at that BKFC Wichita event as well. And kind of in the lead up to the fight, you're like, ah, you know, I definitely have, you know, certain concerns. I mean, it's someone you care about and everything like that. It's like, you know, she'll have her fight, I'll have my fight, celebrate afterwards, try to, you know, compartmentalize the feelings a little bit. Like, what was the, I guess, feeling afterwards there? Because, I mean, she was in a pretty competitive, close fight by all accounts. I mean, not necessarily the outcome she was looking for per se, but like, what were the, I guess, collective feelings between yourself and Jessica Link after the event wrapped up?
Oh, we went, we celebrated. I won. Pretty much the internet thinks she won, so she'll be back at it. She had a blast. I had fun. There really was, yeah, she lost the decision, but it was a full split decision.
Yeah.
So it was, the judges saw different things. If there was another three set of judges, they'd have probably saw three different things. It's different when it's like a unanimous or a majority, because the judges kind of more agree. Split decisions aren't, I've won by a few split decisions, but I've never felt like I've won those, because you could have had a judge at a different part of the ring and he could have seen something completely different and you'd have lost. So, and I think the fifth round was the most contested on hers. I think she landed more strikes. I think she did a lot more damage. So before the fight, I compartmentalized it. I didn't watch her fight. I didn't go out of my locker room. I was warming up, and then after the fight, I went and I watched it, and it was a war. I was proud of her.
Yeah, I thought it was a great performance for sure. I think there was definitely a run to be had in BKFC, especially fighting someone who had a bit of experience on that circuit already there. But I mentioned kind of a bit earlier the excitement you had for fighting a guy like Jay Jackson, just in the sense that like he really brings it. He's an action fighter. In terms of like what happened in the story of the fight unfurling itself, like did everything kind of, I guess, align with the preconceived notions you had leading into that one? Like, what was your thoughts on how the story played out overall relative to how you expected it to?
I was hoping for a knockout. Everybody hopes for a knockout, but I was expecting a 5-round war, and that's what he gave me. He hit me like a Mack truck, and I did the same to him, and we both stayed standing. So he was super respectful. He was a super good guy. I have nothing against him. I just had a better day that day.
And I was seeing an interview saying, you know, we'll have a beer afterwards. Do you end up grabbing a beer with Jay Jackson? And what were you sipping thereafter at Hartman Arena, if that was the case, or maybe an outside kind of bar more so?
Unfortunately, I did not get to get him that beer, so we'll have to postpone that to a later date. Jess had hurt her hand. We thought it was broken at the time. We're still not sure what's wrong with her hand, but she was hurting pretty bad, so I had to get her home and take care of her.
No, fair enough. I mean, you got to prioritize that sort of stuff, no doubt. But I'm kind of curious, like, what the greater luxury is between, you know, the binary of, you know, that post-fight beer versus drinking hot spiced apple cider in the morning.
I am not much of a drinker myself. Root beer is my poison of choice, but you really can't beat a hot spiced apple cider with caramel in it.
Yeah, I saw you posted that on Instagram, and I was like, damn, that looks good as hell. I don't generally drink the hot spiced apple ciders per se, but I was like, it looked like I need a little bit of that in my life, I'm thinking.
Oh, no, that is, as soon as fall comes around, I stock up on that.
Yeah, definitely seems like a beverage to warm the bones, as it were. Great time of year for all of that. Looked very festive and all of that. But great that you were able to make some time for this interview, man. And awesome to talk to you after getting another victory on the circuit. A lot of cool options in the future leading forward and everything like that.
My mom makes fun of me. She calls me a basic white girl because ever since I was a little kid, my mom made pumpkin spice pies. And so to this day, I'll take like the pumpkin spice everything, put a little bit in my coffee.
Oh man, I mean, I'm with that. I'm kind of like a basic white girl in a certain sense, low key. Like when pumpkin pie comes out, I'm like so elated, and I'm like, why isn't this more of a thing annually? Like, this needs to come out more often.
Thanksgiving is the best holiday. It is Christmas without the stress of presents. You eat, you drink coffee, you talk with family and friends, and you just relax all day. You can't get any better than that.
Yeah, no doubt. That's why, you know, being here in Canada where I'm at, I'm pretty stoked that we get to kind of send her for Thanksgiving a little bit earlier. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, cool, we get to, you know, rock it in October. Because, yeah, like you said, such a great holiday.
Yeah, here in America, it goes straight from Halloween to Christmas, and I'm having to, like, beat people with pool noodles to get Thanksgiving recognized.
Yeah, no doubt, man. But, yeah, great getting to talk to you and everything. Always a pleasure, but I want to be mindful of the schedule and everything, man. So to that point, is there maybe anything you want to sort of add as a parting thought as we're wrapping things up here?
Oh, not really. I just want to appreciate everybody that's supported me thus far, and hopefully we'll get a title shot here in the near future.
Yeah, well, I think you're trending in a very positive direction. I mean, you have multiple victories in the bare knuckle boxing circuit and also specifically under that BKFC banner, so I would think you're very much up there in the hierarchy for sure. But yeah, really looking forward to seeing how things pan out here leading into 2022, and best of luck with, you know, rehabbing the leg there, man. And yeah, again, to reiterate, thanks for coming on the show. You have a good rest of your day there, Isaac.
You as well. You enjoy your day.